Hello everyone. I'm 안녕하세요. Anyways, I am very excited to be speaking on a passage that I have been reflecting on for some time now, where I've seen how God has been working in my life and showing me who He is. I hope to encourage you with how the Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in our lives and in the church. Today I'm going to be speaking on how the God that I know dwells in my heart. The talk will look a bit different today. It is a bit shorter because I'm actually going to be sharing a song in response to today's passage. But before I jump into it, I want to first pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for inviting us into conversation with you. Thank you that we have your word that is Christ. I pray for the Holy Spirit to empower your people, your church, your body. May we cherish your word and live it out boldly. Please be with me as I share my experience of who you are from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. What is the first place that comes to mind where you felt deeply safe, at peace, and fully alive? A place where your soul was nourished and your heart felt at home? I want you to hold this image, this place in mind as we dwell into Paul's words to the first century Christians living in Ephesus. It was a major city in Asia Minor, what we know as modern-day Turkey. There was a cultural melting pot of different people and religious beliefs, and Paul spent 2 years boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, and many people came to faith. In fact, it says in Acts 19, verse 10, all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Years later, Paul was imprisoned by the Romans, and he wrote this important letter to the church to Ephesus. He really lays down the story of the gospel, how all of history was fulfilled in Jesus, and how the gospel should affect the way we live our lives, personally, in our communities, and within our family. So let's dwell more deeply into Paul's prayer, which sits in the middle of this letter. He starts with, I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I really like the way the NLT phrases it. Then Christ will make a home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. If there's anything to take away from today, it is that God is building a home in your heart for you to meet with him. And this is part of his plan to restore deep, intimate communion with his people. Let's go right to... Sorry, not very good at holding something and pressing a clicker. There we go. I really love this image. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. We see God create Eden to be the home of God's presence with humanity. It was a temple-like sanctuary, a place of beauty, order, and peace, where God walked with humans. Adam and Eve enjoyed unhindered communion with him. Their hearts were open, unashamed, and fully alive in his presence. However, that intimacy was undermined when they were tempted to rebel against him and ultimately sinned. Humanity was exiled from Eden, physically and spiritually distanced from God's holy presence. But God didn't give up on his beloved creation. He began a rescue plan to restore what was lost, to once again dwell with his people, not just be near them, but within them. Even though God continued to engage with individuals such as Cain, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, so many more, speaking to them, giving them visions, dreams, using intermediaries like angels, they did not have the ongoing dwelling of God's presence. In the time of Moses, his presence was made known to his people through very visible and tangible manifestations, sometimes through a cloud, smoke, fire, thunder, loud trumpet blast, as we see in Exodus 19. But sinful people couldn't approach God casually. If they tried to, they would perish because he is so holy, majestic, powerful. So Moses interceded on their behalf. But then we see a turning point when God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. God says, I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. This portable sanctuary was a symbol of God's desire to be near his people. Though still separated by physical materials of curtain coverings and rituals and priestly mediators, this eventually led to the building of his temple. Through the tabernacle and the temple and the related proceedings of worshiping God, God provided a structured, carefully mediated way of approaching him, preparing the way for even greater intimacy through Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, it says in John 1:14. Apparently the word for made his dwelling is literally tabernacled among us. People could now encounter God in the flesh. Anyone who had seen Jesus saw the Father, as we see in John 14. They experienced God up close and personal. He perfectly demonstrated God's heart for humanity, showed people mercy, kindness, compassion, love, justice, truth, healing, power, and restoration. And through his life, death, and resurrection, he removed the barriers of our unholiness, our sin, our unrighteousness to approach God, to be in his presence, so that now we can have this intimate relationship again with God who created us and loves us. God also gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell within believers, so that God's presence could become even closer, not just beside us, but inside us. God is with us. As it says in 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in you? God is building a home in your heart, not of any physical material, but of faith, trust, and love. It is a living temple, a sanctuary, a space where you can meet with him intimately in every moment, waking or sleeping. There are no more barriers. And it doesn't end there, because he has promised that his presence will fill all of creation once more. We know from Revelation there will be a time that says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The home God began building in your heart now is just the beginning of a full restoration to come. The Holy Spirit is building a home in your heart, not just so Jesus can dwell there, but so that you can meet with him, be healed, loved, transformed, and restored. And we can't do this by ourselves. It's only through the work of the Holy Spirit, which God gives to us. And oh, how abundantly he gives himself to us. It overflows, as Dave preached last week. I also want to share a devotion from Oswald Chambers that may be a rebuke, but also a strong encouragement. Many of us who call ourselves Christians aren't devoted to Jesus Christ. We may admire Jesus Christ, we may respect and reverence him, but we do not love him. The only lover of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. And the only way anyone on earth can possess passionate love for Jesus is if the Holy Spirit imparts it to them. It is the Spirit who puts the love of God in our hearts. When the Spirit sees a chance of glorifying Jesus through you, he will take your heart, your nerves, your whole personality, and make you simply ablaze and glow with devotion to the Lord. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that lives are transformed. And how wonderful it is that Jesus says to us, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We can ask God for the Holy Spirit and how he freely gives himself to us when we do. We read in Acts 19 when Paul asked the disciples in Ephesus, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They did not know what that was. He baptized them, then he placed this Paul, his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied, and God used his people, his church in Ephesus, to proclaim the good news. Again, we read in Acts 19, verse 10, it says, All the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. How powerful is that? And I feel like this prayer speaks for itself, and I want to pray the prayer, the same prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians, to you all today. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I want to share now how God has been building a home in my heart for me to meet with him. Earlier I asked, what's the first place that comes to mind where you felt deeply safe, at peace, fully alive, a place where your soul was nourished and your heart felt at home? Growing up, I didn't have that place. In fact, before God intervened, I felt that a lot of my life, like as though I was standing at the edge of a cliff, facing death all day long. I was younger, a nihilist, and I didn't see much meaning in life. There was no place where I felt safe, secure, at peace, no place where I felt nourished or where my heart felt at home. In fact, I really resonated with the writer of Ecclesiastes. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place, all come from dust, and to dust all return. When I thought I was going to become overcome by my own self-loathing, my shame, my guilt, Jesus sat with me at the edge of this metaphoric cliff, and he told me that I was loved. Something within me, not that I knew that it was the Holy Spirit at the time, trusted these words. God's words bring about life. In the beginning, he spoke and his words brought about life. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Jesus spoke and gave me a new life. I began to see how he was gently leading me away from that cliff's edge, away from my own self-destruction, and brick by brick, he was building a shelter where I could find rest. There were seasons when that shelter felt battered by storms, when the ground beneath me seemed to shake, but he laid a firm foundation. He planted gardens. He let streams flow through it, turning that place into a sanctuary. In moments when life was unraveling, when I faced abandonment, rejection, even persecution, and felt the crushing weight of my own sin, Jesus made a home in my heart, a place where I could feel safe, nourished, at peace, truly, truly at home. And he sustained me through every trial. He held me tight through my many tears. And I'm reminded from an earlier section of Ephesians, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so that none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. And part of those good things that God has planned for us to do is prayer. As Paul prayed this prayer for the Ephesians, it's the same prayer that people have prayed for me and that we can pray for one another. I didn't know that there were people praying for me. My brother, who is over there, and his Bible study were praying for me to come to know Christ years before Christ intervened. Even today, people continue to pray, and I can see so many of you here who have been praying for me. Thank you. Praying that I would grow deeper in my relationship with Christ. And by his grace, I now stand here to share of the marvelous things he has done in my life, because ultimately, everything points back to Christ. Jesus is so, so good, and prayer is so powerful. So in response to our passage today, I want to encourage you to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you this week. Spend time in the home God is creating in your heart and also dwelling in that space. Listen to what Jesus may be saying to you, or how he is showing you love. God has also given each one of us creativity of imagination, and he can work powerfully in that space, bringing to life his words. And it is in that space that when I read this prayer to the Ephesians, God and me, we sat together and we wrote a song. I imagine God building a house, not just any house, but an epic, marvelous dwelling, full of awe and wonder. It was difficult to grasp how wide and long and high and deep it was. It wasn't made of gold or filled with material treasures. What made it glorious was simply the presence of Jesus. It was a place where his love filled every room, wide, long, high, and deep, beyond understanding. And this home, built in the heart, cannot be taken or shaken by any power in this world. I thought of Paul as he was writing this letter in prison to the Ephesians. He was not shaken. He was anchored in this inner sanctuary filled with the fullness of God. It reminded me of Romans 8, where Paul declares that nothing, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. While I was writing this song, I was reminded of so many themes of the Psalms, of resting in God's protection, in his sanctuary, of his face shining upon his people, God being my strength, my joy, my peace. And the song ends with knowing that God's power is at work within us in all our lives, bringing glory to Christ. So I'm going to sing you guys a song that has come out in response to this passage. And Jack, if you'd like to join me, that'd be great. Been a bit under the weather, so I hope my voice holds up.
With your love, it's your power's at work within us. Your power's at work. Oh, glory to Christ.
Thank you, everyone.